Who's Pete leaving Sunday morning at 6?
He has to be at the airport at 4. Yeah, 2 hours early.
There you go.
Another way you can get a bunch of flights.
Drop them off at.
Don't take a taxi.
Let's pick up a collection for a taxi.
Yeah. Or one of those.
I think you should go and take
them. Really?
I took Scott out to the airport one time about that.
I don't know if his plane leaves at 6, but I think he said he had to be there at 6.
No.
Oh, God.
He could just be a run and then there's trash on or something out that way. By the airport.
Time goes that he's going to land at 4 in the morning.
Well, somebody just take him there at 10 and he can sleep on the seat.
Who's going to be the point man for the community service?
Oh, shit.
Is that the only thing you can do?
Glenn will be the point man.
Who's the assistant? All right. And you have a punch list? Ezekiel 8. Said furthermore unto me, Son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. Now, the idea that he should go far off from his sanctuary is that you believe that he is somewhere other than where you are. And you believe he is not in control of the situation that you're in. You'll see in a little bit, you believe, not necessarily by saying it, but by your complaining or by your lust, that God has forsaken the earth. And once that happens, then these great abominations, the sorceries and all, come into play. Anybody understand that? No, it's not that. It's just when you think that something should be different than it is, you are saying that God has gone far off from his sanctuary, that he is no longer Lord. You are Lord. You got to capture this. And what do? Let's take a trip to the Buckner scriptures just because he opened his mouth. Isaiah 57.
We want you to talk, man.
Pretend with me.
No, let me sacrifice that
one. Oh, Gary. A living sacrifice can do that.
chapter 56, verse 10. His watchmen are blind, they are all ignorant, they are all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain from his quarter. Or his. Oh, God. I'm not doing very well. Stop in verse 11 a minute. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. They are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his own gain, is what it says. And it's from his quarter, means from his own point of view. Now, stop a minute and tell me a human being that isn't in that position. They are not seeing that Christ is Lord at every minute. Your ideas are filthy. Your plans are an abomination. I can't say it any stronger than he said it here. Greedy dogs can never have enough. Shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every man for his own gain, from his own point of view. Come ye, they say, and I will fetch wine, and we'll fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and much more abundant. They that preach that gain is godliness are an abomination unto God.
That's like the motivational preachers thing too. Today, you know, everything's going to be.
The righteous. No, this is human race. This is human race. But I'm saying that that's the sadness, is that it's applied to. I mean, this, even his watchmen and his shepherds are idiots, ignorant, greedy dogs, blind guides.
The ones that are close to not being that way. I was sitting there yesterday with Johnny for an hour watching the 700 Club that Falwell was on, and they were signing the blame to the World Trade Center. And it was interesting to sit and watch Johnny watch it. Because the two guys, their version of Christianity was so perverted. So it was cool to watch Johnny and hear his reaction to what they were saying.
The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw, he's talking about the ones that apparently were taken away. But, you know, anyway. But draw near hither, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Can you get any stronger than that? Or is that dispensationalism? Is it talking about somebody else? Is it talking about somebody over there? No, it's talking about us. You sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore, against whom do you sport yourselves? Anybody have any idea what sport yourself means? No, it means vaunt. Against who do you vaunt yourself? I.e. in your judgments against other people, in your thinking, that's your belief system, that something is wrong, but not that something is needed, something is left to do. Don't you understand? That is what it means to sport, to vaunt. Peace. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree? That one's too easy, I won't even go there. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children of the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks. Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? What does that mean? What are the smooth stones?
Remember, we've talked about that many times. Anybody got an idea?
Isn't that what they used to make, carve their idols out of? And this will be taken.
The smooth stones represent your ideas. Those are what you have poured out a drink offering to.
Stream is like this, your conscience.
Right. And thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Do you understand this? You look like you're disagreeing, Gary. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Bed at night, you go up to the high mountain. You go up these mountains of the seven hills of your mind, and there you go up to offer the sacrifices and the ideas and the plans and the what ifs, and I could have and I should have and I should be, and every possible imagination that you can conceive of. Behind the doors also and the posts hast thou set up thy remembrance, for thou hast discovered thyself to another other than me, to another than me, and art gone up and hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. Anybody understand how you do that? You go up and you worship your ideas. You give total breath to them. Your opinions, your judgments. Instead of living in that moment of dependence, seeing Christ is all and in all, you go up to your bed. You go up the mountain to your bed. To be and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. You can tell this is the kicker. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. How many thousand times have you done that? I know what's going to give me sustenance and meaning in life. I'll think up of something. I'll think up of some program. I'll think of some new identity. I'll change something. I will get something. I will have an idea. Then I will be up there. Then. You're wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say it's not, there is no hope, because to say there is no hope is your only chance. Because only then can your death be accomplished. And only with death can his resurrection take place. so sick unto death, watching this and seeing it here. Just think, thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of your own hand, therefore you are not grieved. Touching anybody? Or do you think it's somebody else that does this? Of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied? And hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not still? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, now let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away, vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and then shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and lofty, the high and holy place with him that also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me in souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his own heart. But now I've seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace to him that is afar off. To him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, or the wicked one. Remember, he's always trying, 6666. He always tries, never can find it. He earns money to put in a bag full of holes, and the little he has, God blows on it. How long will it take for you to come to the fullness of repentance? How long will it take for you to know that you can never, never, never again lean on your own arm of understanding, that you can never again make judgments after the flesh? How long will it take until your ideas become to you as the worst kind of stench and filth? How long until you stop worshiping those ideas by giving them breath and importance? Because this is what you do when you play that game. You discover yourself to another other than him. Anybody have any response?
come up with, but I remember the analogy about the fish trying to trying to describe the sea to a fish, and mind talk, the sea being mind talk. That until there's silence in the temple for some period of time, then there's no way to understand what he is saying. But once there's silence, then I can be aware, I can understand what you're saying. So,
right.
I understand what you're saying. That's it. And when there's silence, then when one of those little monkeys pop up, well, last night I'm trying to go to sleep and I hear this conversation in my head. Well, okay, now, what about Kimberly and this and that? Remember to do this, remember to do that. And it's like, who is talking? Who the hell is talking? Where, you know, like, get out of here.
Let's look and see who's talking. Ezekiel 8.
But the idea of, you've told me so many times that the, you know, I get caught in that because I like it. Because I think it has some value. But I come to realize that it doesn't have any value. Yeah.
Well, it's even worse than that. You cannot, once you've tasted of the flesh of the Son of Man, then, and that's where you gain your sustenance, and that only is where you gain your satisfaction. You've tasted and seen that he is good. Then from that point on, you can never again get satisfaction from these mental gymnastics, because your sustenance is something other than him. And it just, it becomes an abomination to you. How to get from there to there, the only thing I know to do is to preach the cross, to show you the ridiculousness and stupidity and make fun of you and make fun of your ideas and piss off everybody. That's the only thing I know how to do. Somebody's got a better way to cause you to see the futility and emptiness of all of that genre. Then, you know, tell me. I don't always like to be the bad guy. I don't always like to have people mad at me.
Better
all right.
Than God.
Huh?
Better you than God.
He said, furthermore, verse 6, furthermore unto me, Son of Man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committed here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? In other words, he's not there. You think he's somewhere else. But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, there was a hole in the wall. Remember we said that you've spent your entire life, there's always been, you've always had these holes. Every time you see a weakness or a place of vulnerability, that's the hole. There's only one hole, and there's only one wall, and there's only one door. Every time I've got to fix that. I've got to fix that hole. I've got to daub it with untempered mortar. I've got to do something about that hole. Because if the hole isn't fixed, then my whole house of cards will collapse. How many million times has he showed you that hole in your wall? Yeah. It's again the same way of saying it as he did, as Isaiah did. You are wearied in the greatness of your way, yet you say it's not that there is no hope. For you found the life of your own hand. Here, instead of seeing the weakness and is what God has been waiting for, and you dig and you turn your swords into plowshares as that digging instrument, and your spears become the pruning hook instead of the killing somebody, then you'll continue on rebuilding the wall. But it's the stupid wall. It's really, you're trying to rebuild the wall of Jericho instead of the wall of the temple. Turn ye yet again, and you shall see greater abominations. And he brought me into the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, in the wall, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in. That's why I said, every single time that you see something or feel something or sense something that you don't like, it's Jesus Christ himself knocking at the door. So instead of trying to fix it, just open the door. You might not like what you see in there, because when he comes in, and Kenny and all his friends are real nervous. For those of you that have seen the last issue of the door, or the last issue before last. My God, they killed Kenny. And I dig the hole, behold the door, and when he said it, then he. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there, or here. I can't, this Bible is... Well, it gets, it's, it can't read the little words.
If we can just give you one exactly like it.
Shut up.
Read the big words.
So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about, and there stood before them 70 men of the ancients of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jazaniah, the son of Saphon, with every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Remember, every one of these people, it was illegal for them to have the censer in his hand, because the censer was only the high priest. And the censer now, he is a high priest. He alone can have the censer. And every man has his censer in his hand. And these are all the 70 board of elders, the Sanhedrin that's up here. Now, for many of you, as I've said, you've knocked off a bunch of these Sanhedrin. But they're still there. They're still guiding you with their little ideas and imaginations. If any man come to me, he must become as this little child, without self-awareness. He must be converted and become as that little child. How often, I mean, that's what we see these idiots. I mean, I know, because I was one of them. I had these great ideas. Now I was a Christian. Now I was going to have these great ideas to do things. And it's just the fruit of the whore. We'll talk more about Jazaniah when we meet again Monday, I hope. Can you capture this? You see where the battle is? It's not external. It's not against anything outside of you. In fact, God has ordered everything outside of your senses so that you will know and have the materials to go to battle with what's inside. The battle has already been won, but all you have to do is to see it. You have to take the government off your shoulders. Simply have to stop trying to be your own God. Amen?
Yeah.
I did pretty good.
Pat yourself on the
head. You only laughed at me two or three times this morning. That's her role in life, is to laugh at me. You know that?
I like it when you couldn't read the little words. That was the best part.
The words, you know what I mean. The words that are... in the spine of the box. She's taunting and mocking and always taunting. That's a good word. I'm going to taunt you. Taunt, that's one of those onomatopoeia that mean, where the word, what's it, where the word sounds like what it means? Huh? She knows. Like maim. I'm going to maim. Or the maimed. Or that peach was luscious.
What are you talking about?
Onomatopoeia.
fact button. Anyway, this is probably a pretty good Bible study until the end here.
That would be an edit. I remember how disappointing and shocking it was to find that God didn't go along with our ideas.
I remember when you found that out too.
I said our ideas.
No, Gary and I really had it going when we first met. We were. You had all kinds of plans about taking over television stations and building networks and
national
conferences.
So we could watch them
all back off.
Pull
the rug out from under you.
Strong devices. You didn't bless them.
You didn't say you build a university.
we had the communication center we were going to build. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we were all, I remember that. Sitting around throwing little things over there.
Big idea.
I was in Alabama.
Oh, that's a good idea. No, cast question is still a good idea. You just have to let it sit there and let somebody else do it, but it's a good idea.